It's the Marketplace Tech Podcast for July 8th. I'm Ben Johnson in New York. Today, the House of Representatives is back from its Independence Day recess, and one of the items on the to-do list is considering the Social Media Working Group Act of 2014. The government is, of course, already working with social media to inform and interact with citizens, but a new idea would be to establish a kind of group within the Department of Homeland Security to use social networks during a crisis. Here with the how and, more importantly, the why is Nate Elliott, social media analyst at Forrester Research. Hi, Nate.
Hi there.
What could be the outcome of a group like this?
Well, I think the hope is when the government or another authority tweets something or posts something in social media that people will share it for them. And on the occasion that does happen, then yeah, it can lead to a lot of extra reach and exposure. But for the most part, messages don't tend to go viral. And those messages tend to wash away really quickly. And that just makes it harder for people to actually see the content that the government wants them to.
Do you think that Twitter or another social network might actually consider some sort of algorithmic solution to this? Like if Twitter understands that the government really needs to get a message out, do you think the social networks might actually consider tweaking the way that their network works in order to make that happen?
Right now, Twitter doesn't use any algorithms to determine who sees what.
Though Facebook does.
Yeah, Facebook does use its algorithms. The problem is both of them have figured out a way for organizations to make sure people get the message, and that's through paid advertising.
Well, if that's the case, though, why has Twitter become such a serious consideration for organizations like this?
Well, I think they need to make sure that they are participating in that conversation because, quite frankly, they need to combat misinformation. And there will be some percentage of people who do want to receive these messages.
Government organizations suffer the same challenges as the rest of us do when it comes to reaching people through social media.
Yeah, the government will face exactly the same challenges as most marketers and most other organizations. And unfortunately, it seems like they might suffer from the same myopia as well.
Nate Elliott is a social media analyst at Forrester Research. Nate, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Today, an annual and long-running retreat begins in Sun Valley, Idaho. It's put together by private investment firm Allen & Company. The crowd is elite, the access for press is very restricted, and the guest list increasingly features tech moguls. As the five-day event begins with potential visitors like Mark Zuckerberg and Tim Cook, so could some important deal-making. We caught up with jet-setting Recode editor Kara Swisher on her cell phone. She says the gathering has a familiar feel.
They hike around and then they talk and they meet and they schmooze and they have little lectures and things like that. So it's like summer camp for moguls.
Are they singing Kumbaya together? Do we know?
I hope not, but I fear that might be the case. But they also have recently, in the past couple of years, really heavily added tech people, you know, kind of cross-pollinating the old media moguls with new tech upstarts. You know, you can't discount schmoozing, even in the digital age. There is some element to actual physical schmoozing that still happens.
Kara Swisher, co-executive editor of the website Recode. Speaking of camp, this one time at band camp, I got a head rush while singing in the choir and fell sideways into an entire section of folding chairs. It was a showstopper. Well, this season, a lot of campers are forgoing things like choir and even archery to get more screen time. As part of our Learning Curve series on tech and education, Marketplace's Adrian Hill files this report on computer camp.
Forget your typical summer camp experience, swimming and campfires and ghost stories. Ooh. At computer camps around the country, kids are telling stories about Minecraft. They're learning coding instead of canoeing.
I thought it was really cool to know how to make an app.
That's Aurora. She's spending the week at ID Tech Camp at UCLA.
I'm only a kid and I'm 11 and you don't see a lot of kids making apps on the app store that might actually sell. So I thought it'd be cool.
The room is humming. Mostly boys, there are rows of students working on computers tucked away in individual cubbies. No threat of poison ivy here. Bright signs on the wall say game, code, tech, create. 14-year-old Gabrielle is learning 3D modeling and animation.
I previously, when I was younger, had gone to, you know, more traditional summer camps where it's just, like, all fun, all games. But I felt like it was time I had become a little more serious about what I want to do for the future.
More serious about the future at 14. The pamphlet for ID Tech plays straight into that. It's there on page one, quote, Right now, there are over 1 million unfilled jobs in STEM. The message, $900+ for this week-long camp can help prepare a kid for those high-skilled jobs.
Technology is great. Computers are great. It is. It's going to be a part of our future.
Peg Smith is head of the American Camp Association. She says you can learn 21st century skills at traditional camps, too. Creativity, communication, collaboration.
For kids to be able to be outside, in nature, actively involved, in authentic situations with other people, I think is a real advantage in today's world.
Smith says the funny thing is, computer camp used to be where kids went to play with exotic devices. Now, computers are everywhere, and it's traditional camp where they experience the exotic, nature. I'm Adrienne Hill for Marketplace.
And before we go, Guy from Columbus, Ohio is making potato salad for the first time. Wanted to raise $10 on Kickstarter for a lark. The joke's now gone viral. $20,000 raised. Okay, cool story, man. Now put that money towards a charity to feed the hungry, and it'll be a great story. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.